Oh, yes. Hello,
Okay,
man.
so we've seen so far two opinions as to where do we derive this halacha that the Beis HaSkila has to be outside of all three machanos. Where does that come from? Opinion number one was the Braisa that seemed to learn it from a Gzeira Shava. In other words, from the parasha of Purim HaNisrafim, which we saw last time. Second opinion was Rav Papa and Amoira, which, by the way, obviously needs questioning. How can an Amoira be Chelek and a Braisa? But either way, we'll soon see about that. Rav Papa learned it not from Purim HaNisrafim, but if you remember, he said, I don't need to go anywhere. It's all local. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is addressing Moshe Rabbeinu and says, go out of the Machaneh. So that obviously means leave Machaneh Leviyah, which was where Moshe Rabbeinu was, and go to Machaneh Yisrael. And then he says another pasuk about Michutz LaMachaneh, so it means leave that Machaneh as well. So there you have it in the psukim. So if you remember, there was a discussion, can I learn anything from the pasuk that says, Vayoytziyu es ha-makalel al-Michutz LaMachaneh? That's not really part of the instruction. That's just the Torah telling you that it was done. It's part of the story. To which the Gemara answered, no, because I have another pasuk that says, and this was the very top line of the Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel, Ubnei Yisrael asu kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. The Torah says that they did absolutely everything as instructed. So I don't need another pasuk saying specifically they took him out the Machaneh. I already know they did all that was instructed. So if the Torah nonetheless stipulates that what, or enunciates that they took him out of the Machaneh, that clearly is for a drasha, and that tells us they took him out of yet another Machaneh, not only out of Machaneh Leviyah to Machaneh Yisrael, but out of Machaneh Yisrael, out of all the Machanes. So now we're on the top of Daf Mem Gimel Omed Aleph, second line, Elo Me'ato. Elo me'ato means so now. There's a question, so now. Now remember, we've had this principle hundreds of times before. This is the if so rule. I hope you all remember the if so rule. The if so rule means if I say to you, what day of the week is it? You say, today is Wednesday morning. So I say to you, well, if so, why are you wearing a blue shirt? That question doesn't make any sense. If I would ask you why you're wearing a blue shirt, what I mean is, why are you wearing a blue shirt? Do you like the color blue? Is it a uniform? But what's that got to do with the fact that it's Wednesday? If I say if so, it sounds like that essentially I can understand why you're wearing a blue shirt, but I don't understand it because it's Wednesday. If so, ihochi, one triggers the question. So too, elomeato. Me'ato means, but now that you've said X, I therefore have question Y. So let's look at what the question is, and we have to work out why is that based on what we just said. Says the Gemara, we have another pasuk in that very parasha, and it says, "Vayirgamu oisai even," and they stoned him with a stone. Says the Gemara, "My." Of delay, what do we do with that pasuk? Now, what does that mean? What do we do with that pasuk? The Torah is narrating the story. What's wrong with the Torah narrating the story? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, take him out and stone him. And the Torah says, indeed they did, and they stoned him. So, what is the Gemara's question? How does anybody understand? What does the Gemara mean to ask? What do we learn from that pasuk? Who says we have to learn anything from that pasuk? The Torah is just narrating the story. So what's the question? Why is it based on what we just learned? Because the top line of the Gemara says that we have a general pasuk, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael osu kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They did all that they were instructed, and because of that, if you remember the other pasuk of Vayoytziyu es ha-makalel el michutz la-machaneh was considered spare. Ah, if it's spare, well then so too, Vayirgumu oisei even, now all of a sudden becomes spare. So now we understand why it's the if-so rule. Without the previous part of the Gemara, we never would have asked the question. Why is the Torah saying that they stoned him? Because the Torah is telling you the story. What's wrong with telling you the story? But now that you told me that, no, the Torah cannot be telling you the story because it's already said, Ubnei Yisrael asu kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. There is a pasuk which is very general, and it says they did everything that's instructed. So I don't need another pasuk saying, and by the way, they stoned him. Obviously. So that's what it means, Elomayata. Now that you've told me that I've got a pasuk that narrates the story, so every other pasuk now becomes spare. Every pasuk that goes into detail of what actually happened is spare. So what are we going to darshan from this pasuk? And they stoned him. Okay, very nice. It says already they did all that was instructed. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. Ha-hu, this pasuk mi boyale is required to teach us a brand new halacha. Look at the Tanya, as we've learned the Braisa. Vayirgumu oisoi be'even. It says, and they stoned him with a stone, with the drosha being. Oisoi, they stoned him. The emphasis is on the him. Veloi biksusoi, but not in his clothing. What did they stone? Just the person himself, but he was unclothed at the time. How do we learn that the person has to be unclothed at the time? From this extra pasuk. You're quite right. The pasuk is jolly well spare. It therefore is for a drosha. And the drasha is that you stone him, just his body, just his body. Okay, so it was a good question with a good answer. Indeed, the pasuk was spare. Indeed, it's there for a drasha. Indeed, there is a drasha. And the drasha is that you got to stone him, but without his clothes. Now, yes, right.
If you were to separate that him and his clothes, there is no such thing as stoning his clothes, right?
No, but
So therefore,
if we wouldn't have had a pasuk, then I would assume that you stoned him just as the
that's
way
my point. So they
it
want to learn out that he was not with his clothes. So I want to, but I want to ask, what does that mean? In other words, if you're saying only him and not his clothes, that means there could be a time where you stone him, there could be a time where you stone his clothes, but it's not for
no.
that pasuk, we don't
From
together. But
here you
how do you
learn that
stone a person? How do you stone clothes without the person?
from it. No, you never stone a clothes. That's not the issue.
Exactly. Right. So
Is
therefore,
do you
I don't know how
stone
they
the
can learn out.
person wearing the clothes or the person not wearing the clothes? There's no stoning clothes. Do we assume, had we not had a pasuk, we would have had every right to assume that just like he was standing in Beis Din, obviously wearing his clothes, you now march him out and you stone him as such. Says the pasuk that no, vayirgumu oisoi even, and veloi biksusoi. That teaches us that unlike his normal way of walking around, which is obviously wearing clothes, when it comes to stoning, he's got to remove the clothes such that the only thing is left is his body without the clothes.
Is there a Masorah that they learned on that? Like, how do they? That's a very, how do they know that's what they learned from it? Like,
That's the drasha. Every drasha is a masorah. We didn't make up a drasha. Every drasha is a masorah. That's what this word oisoi is teaching us, that we stone him. But we do not stone him with his clothes. Now, we know historically that there was more than one event where the person was stoned. Firstly, there was the whole story of the Mekalel, and there was also the story of the Mekoshesh. The Mekalel, the one who cursed, the Mekoshesh, the one who was Mechalel Shabbos. The difference being that for some reason, with regard to the Mekalel, it says they stoned him with a stone, even in the singular. And with regard to Mekoshesh, it says with avonim, stones in the plural. And that needs explanation. Says the Gemara. What do we learn from the word even? From the word oisoi, we just learned, as we mentioned, oisoi veloi biksusoi, him without his clothes. What's the word even teaching us? She'im meis Be'even achas yotza. That if he died just having stoned him with one stone, then you're yotza the mitzvah of skila. Do not think that you have to pelt him incessantly with stones. No. If one stone does the job, then you're yotza the mitzvah of skila, and that's why it says even in the singular. Ask the Gemara. If that's the case, then why in the case of Mekoshesh does it say Avonim? Says the Gemara, Ve'itzrich lemichtav Evan, Ve'itzrich lemichtav Avonim. The Torah needs to write both the word Evan in the singular and also Avonim in the plural. Why? Is it the singular or is it the plural? To tell you the following. De'i kosav rachmona evan. If the Torah only would have written the word evan in the singular, without the word avonim elsewhere, what would we have thought? I would have thought that you throw one stone on him, and that's it. If he dies, he dies. If he doesn't, he doesn't, because it says evan. Hava amin, I would have thought, heicha deloy mace. Where he did not die, b'choda, if he did not die with one stone, then maybe that's it. Loi, nesi, achriti, we do not bring others or miktale to kill him, because it says evan. So that's why, kosav rachmana, avonim. So why did the Torah have to write in the second place, avonim in the plural, to teach me that if one evan did not suffice, then certainly you've got to bring more than one even, even avonim. Ve'i kasav rachmona avonim. But if the Torah would only have written avonim, what would I have thought? Hava amin, I would have thought that me'ikara, right from the outset, nesi tarati. Maybe you've got to start off by bringing two stones. If the Torah says stone him with avonim, so I would have thought you've got to start off at least two. That's why kosav rachmana, even in the singular. So now we understand each one of those two psukim, even and avonim, both teach us a halacha. Even in the singular teaches us that what? That you start off with one stone. Avonim in the plural teaches you that if one doesn't do the trick, then you've got to bring more. But each one without the other, I wouldn't have known both halachas. Fine. Asks the Gemara now the very obvious question. In summary, it turns out that we have two separate sources to teach me this halacha that we've been learning, that the Beis HaSkila was taken three machnes, out of three machnes. First, you have the Braisa that learned it from the Gezeirah Shava from Purim HaNisrofim. And then you have Rav Popo who says, quite frankly, I don't need a Gezeirah Shava, it can all be learnt locally. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Machane Leviyah, etc., etc. Asks the Gemara, V'ho, hai, Tana, Ne'emar, Ka'omar. What does Ne'emar mean? The first
Said.
Tana said absolutely clearly, Ne'emar, this is what it says. This is the Gzeira Shava. We know an Amora cannot possibly argue on a Tana. Certainly, if a Tana brings a Pasuk, well, what are you going to do? Suggest a different Pasuk? The Tana says, Ne'emar. Ne'emar means it is stated, fact. This is the Makor of the Halacha, it's a Gzeira Shava. Look at Rashi on the third white line. V'ho hai tana de la'el. Surely we learned Ne'emar ka'omar. He said Ne'emar. He said, this is where it's stated. Migzeira shava de Purim. It is from the Gzeira Shava of the Purim that Yalifla that we derive this. V'heichi oser of Papa. So how on earth can Rav Papa come along? La'aflugi, and to argue ole de Tana. How can Rav Papa argue with a Tana? It's the golden rule. An Amora can never argue with a Tana, period. So if the Tana in the Braisa stated emphatically, Ne'emar, this is what it says. The Torah went out of its way to write various psukim from which we derive gzeira shava. So what's Rav Papa coming along? No, I've got a better drasha. What do you mean better? You're arguing with the Tana? How can that be? So the Gemara gives a very strange looking answer. Says the Gemara, Ilu. Loi ne'emar ka'omar. The Tana didn't actually mean to say that it's derived from a gzeira shava. What he meant was, if we wouldn't have had a pasuk to learn it locally, then in theory, not in practice, in theory, we could have learned it from a gzeira shava. He didn't mean to say that in practice we actually do learn it from a gzeira shava. Of course, he agrees to Rav Papa that it's all learned locally without any gzeira shava. All he meant was, ilu loy ne'emar, had it not been learnt elsewhere, says the Gemara v'hochi kamar. This is what he meant. Ilu loy ne'emar kra, had there not been another pasuk that teaches me it can all be learned locally? Hayisi Oimer, then I would have said Gezeira Shava. Then you're right. I would, in theory, but not in practice. In theory, I could have suggested Gezeira Shava, but in reality, but Achshav Shenemar, but now that I have a pasuk, which pasuk? Rav Papa's pasuk, Gezeira Shava Loi Tzarich. So in reality, I don't need Gezeira Shava. Very, very, very mechudesh answer. We were under the understanding that when the Braiser said this is the Gzeira Shava, that means emphatically this is the source. It turns out that all he meant was that no, had we not had a pasuk locally, then we could in theory have learnt it from a Gzeira Shava. But in actuality, I agree it's a pasuk, which of course is rather difficult to understand because if it is a pasuk, then why would I need to speculate what would have been had I not had the pasuk? But Baruch Hashem, I do have a pasuk. Yes, Rav Nachum.
So is the Gemara saying that this was the original Tana's Havamina, that he only put the Gezeirah Shavah?
The Tana knew jolly well Rav Papa's pasuk, and that is the real source. And you don't need to go elsewhere, it's all local because Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Machne Levi, etc., etc. The Tana just says, had I not had that pasuk, well, then I could have learned it from a Gezeira Shavah, which is very, very strange, as mentioned. Really, for two reasons, it's strange. Number one, why do I need to speculate on where I would have learned something had I not had a drasha? But I do. I do have a drasha, number one. Number two, as we've discussed many times, a Gezeira Shavah is not made up. A Gzeira Shava is transmitted from Dora to Dora. You can't just make up Gzeira Shava. So, what did the Tana and the Braiser mean? Was he Mekabel from his Rebbeim that there is a Gzeira Shava? There isn't. If he was not Mekabel from his Rebbeim, so what does he mean? Well, in theory, I could have made one up. And if he was Mekabel it from his Rebbeim, well, clearly that is the source. So, you can't say, had we not had a Pasuk, then it would have been the source. But really, there's no Gzeira Shava.
Rebbe?
It's right. Let's just have a look quickly at Rashi. V'hochi ka'omar Tana de Braisa on the last wide line. This is what the Tana de Braisa meant. Ilu loy ne'emar. Kloima, what that means is, ha de yalef lo migzera shava, that which he learns it from migzera shava, lav dafka. It's not literal. And v'hochi ka'omar, what it means is, I nami loy have a nofik imashmosa de kra. Even if we would not have been able to have derived this from the simple meaning of the pasuk. Don't worry, akati lo yhave yechilna lemeima. I still would not have been able to say that chutz lemachane achas. No, I definitely would have known that it means three machanos. Demaisina shalosh machanos. I would have brought it from a different place. Migzera shava deparim. But you're right, vahashta. But now that I do have a pasuk, afilu gzera shava loy tzarech. I don't need it. Yes, sorry, Larry, about to say.
Maybe the I don't know, but maybe the we need the Gezeirah Shavah because the pashtus of the Lashon of the chutz la'machaneh is being could possibly be thought of to be used by for something else. In other words, maybe when we look at those pasuk, we say, no, you know what? We're going to learn something else from these this pasuk pshat, and that's why if we learn it like that, we're going to need the gzeirah shuvah to back it up.
Okay, so we'll soon see, in fact, in the very next line, and that might support your answer. We're about to see now a third possible source of where you learn this halacha of Chutz Mishalosh Machanos. We've had the Braiser, we've had Rav Papa, now comes Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi also learns it locally, he learns it from the Psukim locally. He also learns it from the Psukim locally, which means, therefore, maybe this backs up what Larry is saying. It turns out, therefore, that even though it may indeed be learned locally, but apparently it's not so clear. Because you see, Rav Papa learned it one way, Rav Ashi learned it a different way. So they're both trying to do the same thing. They're both trying to learn it locally from this pasuk, and yet they disagree on how to do so. So maybe that's what the Braiser meant, that it's not so clear-cut that there is, in fact, a drosha. Had it been so clear-cut, there wouldn't have been a machlokes about it. So maybe to learn it is not so simple, so I do have to have the backup gezeirah shavah. So let's have a look. Says the Gemara on the first wide line. Rav Ashi Omer, he once again begins in exactly the same way as Rav Papa. Rav Ashi Omer. Moshe, hey, Chava Yosef. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu at the time? Well, we know where he was. Moshe Rabbeinu was b'machane Leviyah. He was in the Machane Leviyah. Now, how did Rav Papa continue? Rav Papa continued by saying that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take him out of the Machane, that obviously means out of the Machane Leviyah, into the Machane Yisrael. Then we had another pasuk that talk about Chutz LaMachane, and therefore that takes you out of the Machane Yisrael, out of all three Machanes. Rav Ashi says, I would put a big comma in the pasuk. What are the exact words of the pasuk? The words of the pasuk are, Hoitzei es hamakalel, take out the makalel el michutz lamachane, outside of the machane. Now you could put a big comma after the words take out the makalel. If you say take out the makalel again, you're standing in the machane levia. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu was. So if I say take out the makalel, that itself could be understood to mean what? Take him out of the machane levia, into the Machane Yisrael. Now finish the pasuk, El mi chutz la machane. Oh, that must mean out of the next machane. Fine, so he's out of the Machane Yisrael. So I agree, says Rav Ashi with Rav Papa, that it's all learned locally. I don't need a gzeirah shavah, but I don't need two separate psukim. Rav Papa learned it from the fact that El mi chutz la machane is mentioned twice. Rav Ashi says I don't need it twice. It's all learned from one pasuk. Take him out, outside of the Machane. So take him out means out of Machane Levia. Out of the Machane means out of the next Machane. So look at the Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar Moshe Heicha V'Yosef. He says, where was Moshe Rabbeinu standing? He was in the Machane Levia. He was in the Machane Levia. Okay. V'Omale Rachmona, and the Torah said to him, Hoitzei es hamakalel, quote unquote. We put a big comma there in the middle of the pasuk. Hoitzei es hamakalel, take out the makalel. What does that mean? Hoitzei es hamakalel, chutz lamachane. Chutz lamachane levia. Those very words of Hoitzei es hamakalel, quote unquote, mean Chutz l'machane levia. So I now take him into the Machane Yisrael. How does the pasuk then continue? And it says, El mi chutz l'machane. Ah, to take him out of the next Machane, which means chutz l'machane Yisrael. So therefore, I don't need, says Rav Ashi, two separate psukim, that one pasuk of Hoytzias HaMakalel El Michutz LaMachaneh in fact means two things, because you put a comma in the middle of the pasuk. Take out the Makalel means take him out of where you're standing in the Machaneh Leviyah. So take him out of the Machaneh Leviyah into the Machaneh Yisrael. Now finish off the pasuk El Michutz LaMachaneh, take him out of the Machaneh, which must mean therefore take him out of the next Machaneh, take him out of Machaneh Yisrael, and where does he find himself? Outside all three Machanes.
Rebbe,
Yes.
I'm having a little calculation problem. It's been bothering me because it says take him outside of all three machanas. But if you look at where we are, he's in Machane Levi. That's where he is right now, one camp. Take him out of Machane Levi. So you took him out of one camp into Yisrael. Now take him out of the second camp, Machane Yisrael, into the third. So he's only taking him out of two, putting him
You don't
into the
have to.
third.
We're not trying to prove that you have to take him outside three machanas. We're just trying to prove where was the Beis Haskilah situated. It was situated outside the Machane Yisrael. So you're right. If I happen to be present in the Machane Yisrael, I take him out one machane. If I'm the Machane Leviyah, take him out two machanas. There's no requirement to take him out of three machanas. We're just proving the geographic location. Where was the Beis Haskilah outside of the three machanes? How
No, it's
many?
outside the two machanos. There's no third. It's in the third machanos. It's out. It just
Oh.
says, you're in the Levi. Take him out of the machanos, out of
If
the Levi.
you
Okay,
again,
that's out of the first one.
the Bezdin at the time of the Beis Hamikdash was in the Machane Kahuna. So they indeed would have to leave all three machanes. How do I know that's where the Beis Haskilah was situated? From Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, you're quite right. Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not need to exit three machanes. He needed to exit just two machanes. But the bottom line is, where was the Beis Haskilah situated? Outside of all three machanes. So therefore,
The
the Beis
Machane Kahuna, the Machane
Kahuna was
Levi,
there in
and the Machane
Israel.
Yisrael.
So therefore, when the Beis Hamikdash was built, and there the Beis Din was in the Machane Kahuna, as we know, it was in the Beis Hamikdash, the Lishkas HaGozis, they would indeed have to exit all three machanas. But again, the issue is not how many machanas you have to leave. The main issue is where was the Beis Haskilah located? And the answer is it was located outside of Machane Yisrael. So wherever you're standing, you're going to have to leave a particular number of machanas to get there. Now,
But no,
let's.
but that's not, but hold it. But the original argument was when it says Macha, maybe it's only Chutz LaMachaneh once,
Which
right?
means outside of Machane Kahuna, which means in the Machane Leviyah.
Right. So my question is, if that's a, if there's a, if there was a Hava Mina that maybe it's only talking about after Macha Kahuna, that where, how do we know that it's after three, it's outside of three Machanos? Yes,
Because
we know that there are three
Moshe
Machanos.
Rabbeinu was never in the Machane Kahuna. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Machane Leviyah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu still told him to take him out of two Machanes, which means you get two outside of three Machanes
So just
again.
saying is this whole thing is Hashem's conversation with Moshe. The understood thing is that the Kohanim are already coming out. That's for sure. Now that they're coming out, I'm telling you, Moshe, what I need you to do.
What do you mean the Kohanim are coming out? Which Kohanim?
In other words, the Beis Din rather, the Beis Din, they're already coming out of the Machane Kahuna. That's an
No,
understood thing.
it's not understood. It's not
So then
understood.
when
It's not.
Hashem says to Moshe, come out of two Machanos, what do you mean he's coming out of a third Machane? How do we know he's not coming? They're coming out of the
Ben, I
Kahuna,
repeat, we
coming out of the
never,
Levi, and who is
ever,
Yisrael?
ever said that you've got to leave three machanas. That's not the issue of how many machanas you've got to walk through. The issue is geographically, where was the Beis Haskilah? That's the issue, not how many machanas you have to walk through. That's totally irrelevant. Where was the Beis Haskilah situated? If Moshe Rabbeinu resides in the Machane Leviyah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave two machanes, that proves to me that the Beis Haskilah was outside all three camps. That was its geographical location, which means that's where it's always got to be. So wherever you happen to reside, you're going to have to walk through a X number of machanes, which is irrelevant, to get to the Beis Haskilah, which is situated outside of three machanes, with a ramification being. And in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohanim were actually in the first Machaneh, they were not in the second like Moshe Rabbeinu, so they by definition will have to leave three Machanehs. Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave two Machanehs. And if you have a Beis Din in the Machaneh Yisrael, they will have to leave one Machaneh. We're not interested in how many Machanehs you have to leave. We just want to know where is the Beis HaSkila situated. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, whilst residing in the Machaneh Leviah, to leave two Machanehs, well, that proves to me I know exactly where the Beis HaSkila was.
And let's
Now,
say we
that's
would have gone with the,
the
let's
idea
say,
that Rav Papa brought a second pasuk. Rav Papa brought another pasuk of a Mechutz LaMachaneh. What does Rav Ashi do with that? Says the Gemara, Vayotziu es ha-makalel. When it says that extra pasuk, Vayotziu es ha-makalel, they took out the makalel. La'asiyah. Says Rav Ashi, I don't see that there's any drasha to be learned from that pasuk. That's just telling me that they did it. Remember, we said before, if the Torah is just narrating the story, then there's nothing to learn from it. One second, says the Gemara, Asiyah behed yaksiv buhu. But the Torah has already told me that they did so. As we said before, Ubnei Yisrael asu kasher tzivah Hashem es Moshe. So I've already been taught that they did everything that they needed to do. So again, why would the Torah need to say again? And they took him outside the Machaneh. Don't tell me that that's not darshanable because the Torah is just narrating the story. The Torah has already told me that they did exactly what they were supposed to be doing. Says the Gemara, there's another drasha. Ahu mi boyale. That's to teach me. Chad l'smicha v'chad l'dechia. Or they change it a little bit. L'smicha u'l'dechia. What does that mean, l'smicha u'l'dechia? Let's quickly see Rashi, otherwise we're going to run out of time. Says Rashi, Ahu b'nei Yisrael, that pasuk of b'nei Yisrael, I need mi boyale l'smicha. Smicha means to lean, ledechia means to push. Deksiv b'tzava'o, v'loy mefarshi ba'asiyah. What's written in the instruction, but it's not clearly spelled out in the carrying out? Hodarsiyin kro'u b'nei Yisrael asu, af smicha v'dechia. The Torah is enunciating that they did everything, including smicha and dechia. That's not mentioned in the asiyah. All it says in the asiyah is, and they took him out and they stoned him. That's true. That's just narrating. When the Torah went out of its way to say kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe, an extra instruction, that's coming to teach me they did the smicha and the dechia. What is the smicha and the dechia? Says Rashi, smicha. V'samchu kol hashoyimim. All those who are present have to lean on him. We're going to see more about this later. They have to lean on him. There's a whole process of smicha. Dechia is not written over here. Lav hochaksiva elo miSinai yora yora mikan sheechod minoedim bo. One of the witnesses has to come. V'doichuhu lebeis hagoiva beis haskila umapiloi migoiva. Has to now push him off from a very big height in the Beis HaSkila, which we'll also see more about later on, La'aretz. The Beis HaSkila, Gavoya Shtei Koimos. The Beis HaSkila was actually two stories high. So there are two requirements, two extra halachas. Stoning is not just set him up and throw a stone at him. No, there are two extra halachas. Number one, smicha, which we'll learn more about, and number two, dechia. So the Torah is telling me that that's what they did. They indeed did not only the stoning, but kasher tzivah Hashem es Moshe. They did these extra halachas as well of smicha and dechia. Ask the Gemara in conclusion. Let's just try and finish and get to the two dots. Omru le'rabbonon le'Rav Ashi. I've got a big kasha on you. L'didcha, according to you, that you learn all of this locally and you do not need to learn the Gezeirah Shava from Purim HaNisrafim. Now let's not forget, what was written by the Purim HaNisrafim? It said El Michutz LaMachaneh three times. So it said it three times, so we learned that three Machaneh and then we brought it back to Skila. But if you don't learn the Gezeirah Shava, well, then you've got some serious explaining to do. Why indeed did the Torah write Omichutz LaMachaneh three times with regard to Purim HaNisrafim? If you tell me it's for Gzeira Shava, that's great. But if you don't need the Gzeira Shava, so what are all those psukim doing? Leditcha, kol hani hoitzi. All of those hoitzi, the ksiv, v'parim anisrafin, my darshus behu. What was unique about Rav Ashi? Remember, Rav Ashi split the pasuk into two. Hoitzi, take him out. El michutz hamachaneh, out of another machaneh. So in Purim HaNisrafim, it says three times, Hoitzei El Michutz HaMachaneh. So if you don't want to learn a Gzeira Shavah, I don't mind. Don't learn a Gzeira Shavah. So why does it say it three times in Purim HaNisrafim? Indeed, to be taught that you've got to take him out, they take out the Purim HaNisrafim out of three machanes. But according to Rav Ashi, where it says Hoitzei, that itself is a drasha. So Hoitzei El Michutz LaMachaneh is two machanes. If it says that three times, well, that's six machanes. That doesn't make any sense. Kol hani hoitzi, all of those hoitzis, quote unquote, diksivi b'parim anisrafim, my darshus bu, what are you going to darshan? I don't mind the Torah teaching me that parim anisrafim has got to be taken out of three machanes. But every time it says hoitzi, according to your opinion, that itself is an instruction to leave. So why would I need it three times? Says the Gemara. Kashya, you're right, unanswered. So Rav Ashi is indeed refuted. Okay, we just about made it. Imitz Hashem, next week, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, we'll begin from the next sugya, Imitz Hashem.